Feral Audio.
Oh, what a fantastic day we're having. It's time for another episode of Drew Drogi's Minor Revelations. Hello. Oh, here we are, just cooking, flying, living, you know, whatever. Since all I'm doing at the top of these shows now, apparently, is just promoting myself and making a show about myself and my feelings, my thoughts, my process, my journey, my truth. Why stop? Why stop now? In August, I'm going to do something that I love so much, and I get to do it twice a year, and that is dress up as Rose Nyland and be a part of the Golden Girls Live. We do episodes of the Golden Girls. Yep, that show. Have you heard of it? Do you know it? It's very obscure. It's just really indie. Alongside the incredible Jackie Beat, who's been on the show, Sam Pancake, who's been on the show, Sherry Vine, who I might have on the show because she lives in New York, but when she's in town, I just realized I should have Sherry on the show while we're in doing this in August. So the four of us, yes, get in hag drag. And we are the Golden Girls, and we do two episodes of the show. And there's something about it that is so magical for audiences because it takes them back. It has nothing to do with us. It's just it's that show that we all continue to watch. I mean, it's fascinating that who would have thought that a sitcom about four old ladies in Miami would really have the impact and the staying power. I mean, I think I know Bea Arthur said that, you know, she wanted a lot of evergreen jokes, meaning jokes that could, you know, span the course of time, that were not too current events. And every now and then there are a couple, you know, lines in the show and you're like, who is that? But there's some joke about a Dr. DeBakey in the flu episode. And you're like, who is Dr. DeBakey? But usually you could watch them at any time. They are both subversive and incredibly family friendly. Anybody can enjoy them. And it was on like Friday nights, right? On NBC. And so people stayed home on Friday nights and watched The Golden Girls. This was before you could even tape it, let alone TiVo and all that stuff. You know, I don't know what's beyond TiVo, apparently, because I'm 312. But It is such incredible writing that it's so smart and sharp and stupid at the same time. I get to be Rose Nyland. It's also fun for me because I can play an idiot. I play a lot of dumb people, but I don't always get to play nice people. And Rose is so sweet and so sensitive and always getting her feelings hurt and just has these insanely stupid stories, which I completely relate to that. But it's really nice to actually get to get in drag and play a sweet person because I always play such, you know, nightmare whore cunts. But that's, you know, hey, that's, you know, it's what pays the bills or a bill at a time. And there is something, about we get together with these, you know, friends. We have no director. We scream at each other. We're constantly in disagreement about how, you know, what choice to make, where we enter here, where to put the cheesecake, where to, you know, stage that scene on the lanai where we don't really have room on our stage. We do this in the basement of the Casita del Campo, by the way. I will do a full endorsement at the end of where to go and what to do, but we are in the basement of a Mexican restaurant. So imagine going upstairs or just walking into this restaurant, having a full, you know, chilaquile, that's breakfast. Why am I saying that? You know what I'm saying? You know, taquito, burrito, enchilada, fill in the blank with two insanely large. You have to have two margaritas because you need to get completely blackout. And then you go downstairs and watch middle-aged men play older women for your entertainment purposes. That's an evening, right? I think so. So our audiences are very drunk when they come downstairs and they hear that music, the theme song for the Golden Girls, and lose their minds. And we are rock stars to, you know, 65 people a night. And it's just it feels really great because it connects us in some level. And those of us on stage who've been screaming and yelling at each other this whole rehearsal process, there's so much love there between all of us. I love these people so much. It is so much fun to be on stage with them. And we do so many shows in a weekend. We cram like 10 shows into a weekend, no joke, that we're delirious by the end. We don't know what we've said yet. We don't know, have we said this line yet or today? Because we do two or three shows a day. And we feel like we're at some weird like Tweetsie Railroad situation where you're like, you're up and you're back on again. Go back out there and, you know, entertain the kids. And it's one of the most exhilarating, exhausting, special things that I get to do. And it's happening. Get tickets now because they will go soon. It will be the weekend of August 11th, 12th, 13th. We're probably going to add a couple shows, around that time. We're not really sure exactly what. It's my fault. It's my schedule. So I'm just going to own that. It's my fault. But you can go on brownpapertickets.com and just search for the Golden Girls with a Z and you'll find it. And we have tickets. We have shows at 8 and 10 and we're going to do weekend matinees and we're just going to do as many shows as we can possibly just like pack into a weekend. So come join us. Thank you for being a friend. Let's have a show. Take backs. Hey. Are we ready?
I think so, yeah.
I just feel like the need to do a vocal warm-up.
Oh.
We kept saying,
well, Saturday's vocal warm-up was la 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 lash glue because I needed lash glue. And I was stoned and wouldn't stop talking about it. And they were like, girl, no one here has lash glue.
Oh my God, I love it. No one had lash glue? What kind of show are you at?
Exactly. A terrible.
Oh, come on.
It was rough.
Someone's got to get out that duo.
It was, I know. I use it in dark so I don't have to try so hard to get it to blend.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Oh, hi guys.
Hi. Hello,
we'll bring our audience in. I love that we just came in hot.
Hot.
I love it.
Lash glue.
I want to welcome my guests Ty Blue and Billy Francesca to the show today.
Thank you so much.
Hello, friend.
Hello.
Hi.
We're talking about lash glue. You guys are both nightlife impresarios. Mm.
Ooh, I like that word.
So do I. Can't say it myself, but I love it.
You guys both. You know, you're responsible for a lot of people's joy.
Wow.
Well,
post 9 p.m. You know, or not, I mean, not like you're not joyous all throughout the rest of the day.
Yeah, but yeah. Well,
you
not
do
really.
Well. You know, so. I know we're riddled with shame and grief during the day.
Yes.
I understand all too well.
It's true, ma'am. It's you're no stranger true. To that, ma'am.
No, ma'am. So. I wake up mad. Can't wait for the sun to go down.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot. It's a lot. The mornings.
Yeah,
mornings are.
I try to ease into my day. Do you ease into your day?
Well, we have 5 dogs, so I wouldn't call it easing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, you do.
It's more like being clawed into existence.
No, I can't.
Do they wake you up? Can they go outside on their own, or do they have to be taken out?
No, I have to take them out.
Uh-huh.
And when I say I have to take them out, I mean I have to take them out.
Yes, no, I know.
You know what I mean.
Yes.
So, I try to shut them out so I can actually sleep.
See,
and then the pawing on the scratching on my bedroom door.
Yeah.
You don't have pets, do you?
I don't. I cat sat and dog sat a little bit for my friends in New York when I stay with them. They had their dog for the most of the time.
Okay.
But that was a lot for me because I don't normally have an animal and I was living in fear with the dog. And the dog is just so amazing. Now here's the thing. Little backstory. They had another dog years ago who met a very unfortunate end very quickly while a friend was pet sitting for them.
Oh God, so you had that.
And it was not
head.
Her fault, right. But it was a thing where it was like it was that thing about like we're leaving, don't kill our dog, you know. And I'm like, I know, I understand.
I know.
And I love their dog so much. It's just she is the greatest. So I was like at shows, like watching these like Broadway shows in New York going, I gotta get home, the dog.
The dog's at home.
I've got to take the dog. I was supposed to go out for drinks one time with a guy who wrote the show that I was going to see and I didn't know that. He was like, let's go out for drinks. I'm like, sure. And then after the show, I was like, I can't. I gotta go home and take care of the dog. It's 11 o'clock. Like I turned into such a mom for that. And then
I don't,
the cat, is a lot easier on one hand, but he's also like 16 and has known me all of his life. I've known that cat longer than one of the guys in the, you know, in the relationship because, you know, so like this cat and I go way back and the cat doesn't stop talking.
Oh, it's one
and
of those.
It's very, and a grumpy old man who just louder and louder. No. And the only way, because and also cats don't respond to him. No. I mean, dogs are obedient. They will, cats, if you're annoying, if a dog is annoying you, you let them know and the dog's like, I get it. Right. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm trying.
Cats don't care.
Cats don't give a hot fuck.
They don't get cats at all. Devils.
They'll just keep. So the only thing that would work would be so cruel, but I don't know what else would work. I would clap my hands really loud right next to his ears.
Yeah.
And he would run away from me and then be like, okay. You know, because I was just like, you have to get, you know, and you're just like, I'm going to, you know.
I have did you ever want to hurt it?
Yeah.
There are times, that you do because you're just like, you're trying to sleep. I was doing my show at the time, so I was doing like 8 million, you know, perform. I was so tired.
How long were you in New York? Sidebar. Sorry.
This is in December. I was there for three weeks doing my.
Again.
I was just there again just to see shows. I went for a vacation to see shows. But when I was there in December, I was staying. They were so lovely to have me, let me stay there. But I was performing and I did like, you know, like 18 shows in 16 days or something. So I was like exhausted I would come home and just crash and I would wake up and be like, I would sleep 9 or 10 hours and then just stumble into doing the next thing. So I needed that sleep and that cat, times that I was like, oh, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
But I love him. I mean,
you're a good person.
You know,
no, I couldn't. I don't. Dear. No,
I don't.
You not a cat person?
I had a cat forever. I loved him. My parents shipped him out here when they were like leaving their other house, go to the summer house. We can't take care of the cat anymore. And he died out here. He was old. He was like another like 18-year-old cat. He started getting tumors. Uh-huh. But he was all black. He was a really good cat and mellow. Didn't want to be petted. He was fine with being left alone.
Oh, I like that.
So we both kind of would see each other and nod and go about our business. And that's it. And go about. We had no interest.
Do you have any pets now?
No. Just so I have all my mink coats.
Those gorgeous.
Furs for days.
Roll around in my animals.
That's all I do. No, I don't. I mean,
why feed animals when you can wear
that's
them?
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, Pete is not asking me. No, they're all faux crap from the 70s, but they look like rich people things.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and you.
That's sort of your aesthetic, your drag aesthetic is definitely that. rich old white lady.
I say that, I say that a lot. Like, people are like, but this weekend they're like, enough. Because I keep saying the same thing in a club. Do you have a bit you keep saying and you got to like stop saying it? Because people have kind of had it.
Do you keep saying?
I keep saying, I said it at we had the standard pool party, which was a zoo, and hi everyone, and I'm not, you know, same thing. And I'm like, I lost my tennis bracelet. It's worth $2,000. If you find it, keep it. But I keep saying it, and Dominic from Revolver was like, okay, girl, enough. Like, enough.
You've heard that?
You've heard it? I got to think of something
else. Always so hard when you have to host a party, because I've had to do that several times when I have to get in my form of circus drag.
You're amazing.
But you walk around a party and you do have to have a couple planned bits like that. But then you're like, how often do I recycle these things?
I hate it so much.
And people want to be in on it. And I'm not like I'm on stage where everybody gets it all at once. Right. I have to kind of walk around and be like, I don't think these people have heard my tennis bracelet. Love me.
I feel stupid some, but you have to say something. And then I try not to be too engaging because then people start giving you critiques or suggestions on what you should do, and I'm like,
their friend now.
Know we're friends.
You know what you should do, and I'm like, just keep walking, bitch, because I'm gonna fucking stab you in the throat.
I know.
What you
I
should
know.
Do is go get me another mimosa.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. I can't, you know, just I don't need that kind of like. I'm just saying hi. Like, I'm a rock star for fuck's sake.
Leave absolutely.
I got no fucking patience.
There should be a sound effect that goes with that.
I mean, I just you know.
I get it. No, I know. I have the same thing, and it's like it's very vulnerable to have to go up to people.
Yeah.
And interact with them because a lot of people just like want to be like your cat left alone and like just leave me, you know, they like to have it there. But I have, you know, been paid a lot to sort of walk around parties and entertain people. And what they really want is like atmosphere. They really want they want to see that you're around and you're there, but they don't want to be you know, and it's very hard to sort of explain to people leading up to the event, like, what we're going to do is we're going to come out once a lot of people are there.
Yeah.
We're going to do a couple bits and then we're going to hide.
Yeah, we don't want
to. And people think like, what do you mean? You have to work the whole time. I'm like, nobody wants us on the entire time at the party.
They
we
don't.
Come out, we do a couple bits, we're fun.
Yeah.
We hide, we'll come back later.
Yeah.
We'll
yeah.
stay, you know.
Ambiance,
we'll, you know,
character.
And that makes, you don't remember, you're having a part. Let's hope your party's not so boring.
Right.
That the only thing that works is this one
clown,
you know, clown drag walking around going wah wah wah.
Yeah,
you know,
rodeo clowns. Yeah. That's what I say.
Yeah.
But you know that, Ty, and we've done a lot of shows together where you know, where we have to interact with audience members and
citizens.
Yeah,
And we never know if it's going to be like lovely theater goer people or if it's just going to be like people on like a
drunken
tender day
trash,
drunk
trash,
throw out
who want to be the show.
Yeah, who want to be? That's the other thing is they want to be. You know, when you interact with them, they're like, oh, this is my time to let... No, bitch. Just, you know, do the bit... If they... And be quiet about it. Sit back down. It's not about you.
It's not about you.
I actually, get real angry.
You know what? There was one time when we did Rocky Horror this past New Year's Eve. Oh. Emma Hunton, who was one of the leads of the show,
who
was just a star vocalist and actress.
100%.
So she finishes the scene. And her mom, who has this like 7-year-long, you know, boyfriend... quotation marks, we can call him that.
I can see this.
But she's like, she doesn't bring him around because he gets wasted and acts out.
Oh, wow.
So we were all prefaced this upstairs before the show.
Yeah.
Boom. Show starts. She finishes her number. He stands up. I just want to, middle of the room at Rockwell. Just,
oh, Jesus.
She's humiliated.
Yeah.
I'm watching Emma just boil on stage.
Yeah.
We had to carry him out. It's so weird. Like, you're not the show.
You're
dude.
Not the show, no. And like you're not being supportive right now.
No,
this is not. It's, like I, you said, this is not about you.
No, I yell out often. Situational awareness. I just yell that out.
That's you were like, what a read.
What does that mean? Yeah,
yeah. It's people like what, and I'm like, you mean, realize where you like what, who you're talking, and that's me saying that. And if I'm fucking saying that, because I am. Because
well,
I just don't know.
No, but you know what? I know, but you always, you read a room.
Like, I know, well,
you know how to read a room, and that's the
thing.
We
learn that, I think we all
you know, and I think you do learn that, and I always am, you know, invariably cast, I don't know why, as just the raging bitch, Ty. Why do you always make these horrible women? I hate every moment of it. Well, I was just talking about in my intro about the Golden Girls, and when I get to play a nice lady in that, because I never be nice, but even as in the Golden Girls, one time I had to tell because people get so drunk, and I mean they get hammered and they lose their minds and they want to do the lines along with you.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They want to do the character. They want to do it, and that's all fun until it's not.
Yeah.
Until it becomes like and it crosses a weird line, and you know, and I mean, you know, we have Jackie Beat and Sherry Vine in our show, who are and Sam Pancake. All four of us.
Oh,
are, we know how to.
Yeah.
We know how to read someone to filth.
Yeah.
Like, But
legendary.
Well, thank you. But we also know how to be like, okay, somebody's up, you know.
Right.
And Jackie is really interesting in her theory about it because you think Jackie Beat's going to tell anybody off
immediately. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really smart about it. It's like you can't do it too early because you're almost telling the audience it's okay and it's part of the show.
Right. So,
and it's a thing where if you acknowledge it too much, you lose, you know, you have to earn it. And it has to come at the right, you know. And so it's all about timing because, but you know, but there was one night in the Golden Girls where – We do like 12,000 shows in a weekend and we're just exhausted and we're doing it. And I had a whole thing about every time I would talk, there was this drunk woman on the front row and she just sotto voice during the show would just be like, I love you. I love you.
So she'd be dead.
Oh my God, I love you. And it wasn't like after a moment, it just was happening to where you started to feel crazy.
Right.
Like, is that actually existing now? Or am I, is this the end?
This is how I go.
And
no.
So,
the lights are dimming.
And it just was like, and so then, you know, sort of acknowledged it. And you know, and it wasn't like she was 100% heckling me, but in her mind, she was supporting me.
Yeah, she's part
you know?
Of it with you. And
she was
all
just really drunk, and she wasn't aware that she wasn't in her living room. And you know, and she was saying, I love you. So it wasn't like she was even trying to make jokes.
Yeah.
So it was so hard to even navigate that. So then, at one point, I just said, thank you. And I kind of like smiled, and then I kind of motioned with my hand to like, shut up.
Yeah, you do that.
Claw hand.
And I did a claw hand. A claw hand.
A claw grasp to close Paul.
You know, and then the thing. And then at one point in the dark, she's telling me she loves me. Well, she sees me come out in the dark before the scene starts. So I actually walk up to her because we're so close. Yeah. And I grabbed her shoulder and I was like, okay, please be quiet. Please, please, please. Uh-huh. And then the show started. That scene started.
Yeah.
So that shut her up for a while.
Because
I was like, we're having a connection and I'm telling you to please be quiet. Yeah. Let us do the show. And
see,
it was the very last line of the last show that we did. And I am the sweet, nice character.
Yeah.
And I had to say,
she was saying that to make sure we believe
I had
it.
To right. say, yeah, it was a thing. And I remember I had to say something about, like, now everyone's looking at me as one of my lines, the thing. And then she said, I've been looking at you all night, or something like that, to that effect.
Oh.
And in Rose Nyland character, I just said, please shut the fuck up. And it was the last line of the Golden Girls. It was like, boom, 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 boom. Thank you for being a friend.
I love
and it was like, it was so horribly timed because the audience was going crazy for it. But then she felt terrible and had to come up and say afterwards. And she was like, you don't know how much I
part of it.
But it's all about, it is, it's all part
that
of it.
Makes me want to kill
and what
someone.
She didn't realize was because she came up to me afterwards and she was like, you don't realize, I love you, I love what you do. Yeah. And I go, thank you. I would say, but that was the worst way you could have shown it.
Yeah.
And
it
I was
really
like,
is.
If you love me, you'll let me talk.
Yeah,
you see. And so Sandra Bernhardt said that one time too in an audience where they were like going crazy. And she goes, if you love me, you will set me free. And you know, that's Sandy's way of being like, stop talking to me. Let me go. Let me fly.
Right.
You know,
I don't get that.
And it's that thing where people don't realize, and I know alcohol has a lot to do with it. It's not that they're in their, you know, conscious state, but I don't care.
I don't care.
In that
either.
Moment, I don't give a shit. I'm like, then know how to be at a show. And like, it is better than someone screaming, you suck and fuck you. But on the same time, it's not really, you know?
Care. That and you could deal with easier because you don't have to even be nice to that person
exactly,
who's heckling. It's like,
right. Exactly.
But see, I have this whole fucking theory. It's these people. So many people don't know, have any idea who they are. So they go to and they're getting that rumbling. They want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, now's not your time to have that realization and get on. And while someone's on stage doing what they're doing, shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. I'll say that. I'm like, are you done? Shut the fuck up. And people are like, and then other people start clapping. And
yes.
And then I'll say that. I'm not kidding. We're done doing this.
Well, because you have an audience full of people that are on your side. That's what you don't realize in that moment. You feel like you have one person heckling you and you feel like everybody's against me and I have to figure this out. You have a full audience around you, hopefully. Yeah. Let's pray.
Right.
But they're on your side and they're mad. This is the night they came to see you.
Yeah.
They came to see the show.
Yeah.
This is their experience. This is
the
one time to see it.
They paid for that burrito. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Amen.
Stomach is rumbling.
And so when you call them out, and I realized that is when I was teaching, I used to have that one trouble student and I was like, I'm not going to say anything because I want them to like me. And you're like, no. There are 15 other students in this class that want this experience and they want you to school that person.
Yeah.
And they want to see where the line is. They want to know that it shows leadership. It actually shows respect to the greater picture, which is the thing. The thing.
But,
you know, that you're making.
I hate people. You know I hate people.
I know.
I say it all the time.
And you're the one of the most lovely people I know.
I'll
love
kill you
that
with
you
a fucking hammer.
People,
but I
know. I love
when a club is closed or like, and I'm in there and when it's over and I'm like, oh, like, you know.
Right.
We had the pool party for the 4th of July and I said, you know, the standard. And the pool was, by 7 o'clock, the pool's black. We have to drain the pool because it's filthy. And I said,
Black.
So I ordered
all that grime.
I mean,
all
I
that
saved
dirt,
it. I
that
saved
mold.
It. We bottled it. We bottled
those
it and
gay
sold it in Silver Lake.
Skin cells.
I mean, but we ordered
ice off.
I wanted to order pizza
tanning
for the staff.
Lotion.
I thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to just, I'm out of here. Fuck this shit. I don't need this. I'm still drunk from the 4th of July.
Yes, what?
But no, I ordered pizza for the whole staff. Yes, to make me look like an amazing person, because we all know I am humble and sweet.
Yeah, of course.
But I said, well, let's order pizza for the staff. And they were like, we have food here. We feed them. I'm like, but it's something about pizza party at the end of a long day.
That's
so we had all this, you know, so we're all outside, just the DJs and the staff who'd worked and the kitchen staff and people who are still meandering to leave. Hey, can I have pizza? Did you work all day? Have you worked a 9-hour shift? Get. And they're like, because they're not ready for it. And the staff was like, you don't fuck around. I said, no. It's for you guys. Like, I got
it's
it.
For you.
I want you guys to, you know, and it's that they want to be part of something. They want to be whatever that happens to be. But if you're on stage and you are doing like a piece and my stuff's all off the cuff, you guys are like,
you know.
Well, that's the hard thing when it is a piece that you that is scripted, yeah. you know. I mean, when I was doing that Charles Bush play earlier this year, it's different from being in, you know, in the basement of somewhere where we can right. kind of riff and go off. You're right, like, right. oh, no, I am doing a play right now.
Yeah, and, shut you the
know,
fuck up.
And it is really hard because, you know, there is, you know, there's room for all of it. And it's like when someone, but no one wants the, no one likes the
no.
heckler. I
mean, no,
that's
no.
just no the, one does. No Whether one likes that person. And right. everyone's like so uncomfortable when it happens.
Yep.
And people immediately go, oh no, it's going right. to be that.
It's going to be that kind of show. You know? Yeah. I hate
but
that
But Rocky
show.
Horror is something that I mean, I've probably seen more productions of Rocky Horror Show than maybe any other play. Maybe rivaled with like Grease or something where I've seen like, Oof. I've probably seen like, which is Grease is rough to watch.
Horrible.
But Rocky Horror I love. I've probably seen, I don't know, 10 or 12 productions of that play over the years. And it's always terrifying to me because of the phenomenon around the movie that right. that encourages audience participation. And even the play before it was a movie mm-hmm. had audience participation, you know, and, you know, when it was, you know, 1973 and it's an attic somewhere and Tim Curry was doing it. So that's a hard show, I think, because it sort of asks people to,
right.
yeah.
to chime in and get involved, even though it's like not the movie.
No.
And we
it doesn't
are
say
live
sing along here. After, shut it, the fuck
exactly.
up and sit there.
And everything yeah. that people have worked out in the movie, when you go, it's like timed to the movie, which right. is a very constant variable
yeah.
as opposed to a live show.
It gives me anxiety.
It's
That's
hard.
Where the pills come in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a hard time. I'm getting worse. My patience level, I don't know how you're getting. I mean, I'm still 36 and have been for a very long time.
Sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't. My
As
patience.
Sam Pancake said, I am Sam Pancake. I'm in my extremely late 30s.
That's amazing. He was just home, too. He wrote something like, I love that I'm home because I don't have to explain every 5 minutes that my last name is really Pancake.
Oh.
I was like, that's amazing.
Yes, I know. It's true.
So
I know.
Fucking funny.
I know.
So there's that. I mean, as much as we love what we do, it gets a little, you know, it gets a little much sometimes. But that's why I hide. You hide.
I hide.
Do you hide? I mean, I'm a hider. I'm hiding right now.
I'm barely ever on stage these days, so I guess I do hide.
Yeah, I love it. With those five dogs, I mean, my God, you must be you getting date raped in the park with five dogs walking around.
Oh, my God.
Date raped. So we make a date for the park, and then it ends in violence.
I have so many wonderful rape jokes that you can't use anymore. Like, it's not considered rape if you yell surprise. Like, I love that. But I can't say these things.
I'm glad you don't.
I don't want to get in trouble. At Bingo, yeah. I said once, support abortion, don't be a baby. And then everyone just was screaming.
Oh, my God, wow. I love it.
That was, yeah.
Oh, my God, I love
Corporate
that.
Corporate events don't, but I was.
Oh, yeah,
I
that's the thing. You have to know your audience. You have to know. You have to look at. Sometimes, you know, I also have material planned, and then I look at the crowd, and I go, nope.
This is not
going to be that.
Not today. Yeah.
Sometimes version I'm
wrong.
Tonight.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm wrong, but, you know, you never know. It's sometimes the crowd is just like, yeah. not into it.
I DJ'd a party at a house, a private house, and, you know, in drag. I'm in like a, you know, dress and no wig, and people are like, you know, they're weirded out a little, and they want to understand it, but they don't understand it. And why aren't you in a wig? And I'm like, I don't wear wigs. Like, it's a whole,
yeah.
But I also want to be, you know, back. I don't want to be the center of attention. Like you said, you're at a party. You don't want to be
right
that thing. Like, who's the, you know, the overbearing, like, oh, that fucking queen. Like, so I'm just kind of like hiding off, DJing in the corner,
yeah.
like, leave me alone. And he wanted me dressed up and paid a whole bunch of money. So,
right, exactly.
But you also don't want to be.
But you also don't, I mean, for people who know drag queens, and now drag is such a popular thing.
Yeah.
It's so mainstream. Yeah. It's like Starbucks and everyone knows. And they, and you know, I mean, I know what I'm saying when I say that. But when they see you with facial hair and no wig on, they're like, that doesn't equate, that doesn't make sense to me because I know a certain brand of, you know, and I've watched, you know, how to beat your face on YouTube tutorials and
it's
all that.
It's a night, it's out of control. Well, you know, because I mean, when you dress up, they're like, you should do, or you, and when I, of course, when American Horror Story was out with that character. With
Dennis O'Hare,
You're dressing like him? I'm like, No, hon, just being me.
Just being me.
And then when what's her name won the singing career with the beard and the
Conchita?
No,
Conchita.
Let's all do it together. I don't know. Something Conchita Wurst or Conchella?
Yeah,
right.
Wurst. Yes.
Because I remember
ironic.
Yeah, exactly. Ironic.
But I'm just like, can't people just?
Conchita.
My friend said to me, they said, you look like a very confident cancer patient. And I said,
oh my God.
And I thought that. I said, that's going on my business card.
Thank you.
The shaved head, and now the bald spots are coming in because it's it's not, you know, I'm losing even the bald hair. I don't know what to do. Tattoo.
It's also just like, you know, it's also just like, don't try to put me in. I'm already doing this.
Yeah.
I'm already telling the world, like, I'm being me and I'm celebrating, you know, quit trying to put me in a box within this subculture.
Because,
like, it's just, we're all different and we're all the same.
Yeah,
like,
so, exactly. It doesn't matter.
It's like, you know, it's just something that I, you know, that it is very hard for people to navigate. Like, what do you do? And it's sort of like, that's not really an interesting answer.
No, right. I don't know how to answer
that's
it.
That's like what, you know, that's when people say, how do you describe your voice? No. Well, that's impossible. Yeah. Other people might talk about you, but you can't.
Right.
You can't. I mean, how do you navigate that?
And my new thing.
How interesting is that?
You can steal this too. You can use this too. People say, what are you? I say, I'm an anomaly. I had to look up what an anomaly meant, and I had to look up how to spell it. But once I figured those two things out, I said, I'm going to use that. Because they're like, really oh, because it gives them.
And they'll be like, I love Audrey Tautou.
Right.
I love French films.
It gives you time to sneak away too. Like, anomaly? What the fuck? French tattoos. This asshole. I don't. You know what?
I'm telling you what I think most people would think. My response
is
like, what would the dumbest person say?
But you're nice, and you're out there a lot more than I am.
I'm
doing
fake.
Real stuff.
I'm fake.
Yeah, I know. Well, I know that too.
I'm
just I think you're wonderful.
Well, thank you.
We went and saw that. We saw Ryan's show.
Yes, that was nice. So great.
The one about what's his name?
Of Andy Cohen.
Oh yeah. Which was fun. There was a lot going on.
Oh, Ryan Raftery. Yeah.
Ryan Raftery's show he's doing a Martha Stewart show
right now.
Yeah, which
those pictures are a fucking
riot. Which looks so good. He's doing it at Joe's Pub now. Yeah,
oh, I don't know.
York,
see, I don't
believe.
Go to New York. You go to, I don't.
You should go to New York.
It's filthy.
You know what you
going.
Should do?
No, you know what you should do? I'm going to drown you in a minute. I don't want to go. I've never been.
You've never been to New York City?
I don't ever want to go.
Billy,
I have no interest.
That is fascinating. Where are you from originally?
Boston.
Okay.
Rich white people things. Thank you. Tennis bracelets. Oh, sorry.
And you never went from Boston to New York?
Ever.
Never.
I don't take public transportation. So no, I wouldn't take. People say, just hop on a train. I'm like, what the fuck did you just say to me? Like, I'm not doing that. Like, no. I don't.
That's amazing that you've never. I can't believe
because
that you know,
I always
in all these 36 years.
I can't. Thank you. I love you for that.
Yeah.
I'll buy you a car.
Thanks.
I don't want to be. See, you can bounce around the city. Blythe's there. I know Daniel's there. We have tons of friends.
Sure,
there. And they're like, come, we'll take care of you. It's too much, I think, for me.
It's a lot, but yeah.
But
and
I mean,
it's not your jam.
It's not my jam.
That,
I don't think. I mean,
boy,
I don't think.
To me, it's.
But do you like
San Francisco? It's one of the most magical places in the world. Yes and no.
Okay, yeah.
San Francisco for me.
That's dirty.
Yeah,
that's real dirty.
That's
super dirty.
Yeah.
It's what I love the vibe in San Francisco. I love the idea of San Francisco. You know what I mean?
No, I
love,
do.
To me, I was just in Berlin and that they remind me a lot of each other and Berlin is way better, but I'm like, Berlin is what San Francisco wants to be.
Oh.
And I do love a lot. I love visiting San Francisco. It's beautiful and I know a lot of lovely people there.
It's so pretty.
It's also, there is a little bit, there's this sort of pervasive, and this is like going to, I'm sorry, too late, offend everyone, whatever. Like an arrogant laziness there.
Yeah. Oh,
that's very
started.
Like, it's a lot of people there that are very entitled. It's a lot of artists with a, you know, with a capital artist that are, you know, that are all living on top
book.
Of each other.
Artists with a capital artist. You write that down right now. I'll steal it. I will steal it.
You know what I mean? No. And it's a lot of people that are, they really hate LA and they look down
on
LA.
Oh, they hate it.
Because they think that all we're doing is just like pouring Coca-Cola up our buttholes and going, hey, try me, $9.99 a minute. Like, they think we're all just, and I'm like, you know,
they
want to
be accepted there, but they're so judgmental of everyone
they're
else.
Very judgmental. There's a real area. There's there's a sexual freedom there that is on the verge of just constant rape. And it's like, there's so, everyone's just so sexual there. And I'm
is
like,
it? See,
I'm all about it, but
I don't know
I'm just,
that.
I can't be that. That's just not me. So I'm kind of honest. Everyone's, there's always a double entendre and everyone's like, everyone's fucking everyone. And it's a lot of that
I
that happens.
Handle any
oh,
of those.
Really?
And I'm way more about people in LA. Everyone has hangups and no one has sex in LA and I kind of understand that a little bit more than like
so
a place
true.
Where
yeah.
we all have way too many hangups here and we were like I would never I can't because one time maybe and you maybe went on one date 10 years ago with my friend and I can't
that whole, yeah,
all
that
stuff
a lot of that.
Whereas in San Francisco they're like we don't care we'll do it. And which is beautiful in theory but it does create this like it just feels incestuous and it feels small in a way there.
Ironic.
I don't like it. I was there last year.
I like New York way more.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I don't know. I've been, you know, San Francisco just doesn't. I do have a theory, though. I always say this, or I've thought about this for a while, is that people go to San Francisco to hide, and they come to LA to be discovered.
Oh,
that's why they're
interesting.
So, yeah. Oh, I'm a very smart young woman.
Yeah.
That's why you find so many people in San Francisco named Rainbow and Dakota.
Yes.
They change your name.
Yes.
It's like you were born Jennifer. We know you were Jennifer, and you.
I actually do know someone who was born Dakota.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
He's from like Wyoming or some sort of somewhere like that. I want to say he's from somewhere like that. Yes.
Yeah. He's Cherokee.
He's Cherokee.
Not at all, but
we all are.
Yes.
We all sell turquoise jewelry when we have to.
But yeah, no, but I know what you mean. Yes, there is that. There is a sense of like, I've come. I mean, people go to California. People flee to California as like this sanctuary for lots of reasons, you know, and it's why lots of cults are in California.
I love it.
And I love it. And it's why it's my favorite.
I never, did you plan on moving here?
Yes and no. I mean, I did. I didn't plan on staying here.
Yeah,
I just was. I came here for an adventure.
Yeah.
I probably should have moved to New York first. I've never lived in New York. That's also part of the reason why I love New York.
Okay.
Because I get to go and visit, and either I go for a week to see shows.
Yeah.
Or I go to work.
Yeah.
And I love working there. I love performing in New York. It's my. Doing theater in New York is, to me, the number one. It is.
So
I had to realize when I was doing
like,
my solo show in New York City, I was like. Every day I had to be, I was tired as I was. Like, Drew Jorgie, you're living the dream. You are living
doing
the best thing. Like, to me, this is all I've ever wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it was, and there's just a magic to performing there.
See, that makes me
that
happy.
That's the best
selling point I've ever heard, by the way.
But I've never lived in New York. I've never struggled in New York.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that live there that have those stories of just
fun.
Like, it is no fun.
Did you live
it
there
is a nightmare.
Well?
And,
or did
yeah, I lived there for like 4 years in my mid 20s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I lived all over. I lived in Harlem. I lived in Astoria. I lived in Midtown. Hell's Kitchen, and it was hard. It is dirty, but I think the wonderful thing about New York, which is why I would encourage you to just maybe go with somebody like him who can.
Drew's like,
maybe
don't
we'll
put
take
that
you.
On me.
But
Drew's
like if you go with some cash, and a nice place to stay,
I have all those
and
things.
Just you know, and just go see a bunch of shows.
I don't know how to tell you this. I hate musical theater.
Well, that's fine.
That's fine.
There's still some other good
stuff.
Even for you, like just some like really fun, you know,
club I've never
shows.
Seen Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Well,
I'm sorry.
It's
you're
going to
give me your phone number when we finish this.
You've never seen the movie?
I'm taking you to see Rocky Horror.
You've never seen the movie?
No.
You would, I will tell you now, I would imagine you would hate it. To see a movie, like, because you kind of have to discover it at a tender age.
It's, when you're not
it's
miserable.
It's sort of like... You know, that's why I've never read Catcher in the Rye, and I just know I wouldn't like it.
Yeah.
I was like, I should have read this when I was 14.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway. Sorry.
It's hard. It is hard to live there. But the good thing about New York is, which doesn't happen here, if you put some energy into some shit in New York City, it's going to happen.
Oh.
It's going to come back.
Yeah.
People are going to show up. You're going to get the job.
Yeah.
You're going to get a response. Whereas here, it's like a fucking sandbox, you know,
it
and you're
is,
just kind of constantly just spreading your energy through this like never-ending mass
true.
Of sand.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's what I love about New York is it's immediate and it works.
Yes.
Okay. See, I like,
and that's interesting because I'm so used to being out here when I'm just used to that sand being spread around forever.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, just keep trying to do things and make things, you know.
Yeah.
And, but... It came down to, there were a handful of people moving to New York, but they were from college. I'm sorry. I went after college.
Where's college?
From your cult.
College was in, from my cult.
Done?
Yes. Jim Jones was my college. And so, I went to Wake Forest in North Carolina.
Okay.
And so after college, a group of people were moving to New York and a group were in LA. And I was like, the group in LA just seemed happier in some way.
Yeah.
I don't even remember why. I went and visited LA. It was bright and sunny.
Mm.
I saw a production of Reefer Madness, the musical, which I fell in love with. And I was like, this is the kind of theater I want to do.
Yeah.
I didn't know this existed in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to a show at the Groundlings and I was like, I want to do this. And so I was like, I think I'm going to try LA. And New York seemed so intimidating and so hard. And I don't sing. And, you know, as Ty can attest, I'm not a singer and I'm not a dancer. So I'm a musical theater actor who can't sing or dance.
I love it.
So therefore we do something called sketch comedy.
I love it.
Because when you have that sort of energy, you got to put
it
in your wigs
somehow.
So I was just like, I felt like the sketch comedy improv world was stronger in LA, which it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so especially in 99 when I moved out to, you know, it was like New York is where you go to do stand up.
Okay.
And, you know, it's a great stand up city and it's a great, obviously great theater city and indie films. But, you know, for in LA, I was like, I wasn't. thinking I was like going to move to LA to be a star, but yeah. I was like, I just think this is where I want to do comedy because it just felt more accepting, and there's just more room to fail here, which I didn't really realize consciously.
I love that.
But
that's wonderful. So much
yeah,
room.
But there so really is. Room. Like yeah. in LA, you can just put things up, and if they don't work, you it's just like, kind of go away from them. It was fine. It was worth the ride.
Yeah, you try it and do it.
You know.
Yeah.
That's how true. Great for you that at that age you were that perceptive to be like, oh, well, I don't really sing, but there's this cool. How fortunate for you to like have gone to the Groundlings.
Yeah.
Oh, it saved my life. It was everything. It was a life changing thing for me, and you know, and it's been so like that weird relationship that I've had for 18 years with that place, that theater. Where I mean, it has been the best thing. It has been one of the most upsetting things that career wise ever. Like, it's everything. I have so much wrapped up in it, and I understand why so many people do.
Yeah.
But when I walked into that theater, well, first of all, I I've talked about this before, but I saw that movie Go, that sort of that raver movie about ecstasy, start with Sarah Pauly and Timothy Oliphant, and came out in 1998. It's great. But there was this girl that was in one scene, and she had maybe four lines in the movie, and I was like, she's the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Oh wow!
And she killed me, and I remember spitting out my drink, and I was like obsessed with her, and I was like, who is she? And I went to the Groundlings, and I went and I saw that she was in the Sunday Company, and I was like, oh, her name's Melissa McCarthy. I'm gonna follow her. God, I want to do what she's doing.
Oh, that's a riot.
You know, and so those little things, and you know, an American Pie had just come out, and I was like, I don't care about any of this, but wait a minute, Jennifer Coolidge.
Don't start.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, she's wonderful.
And I saw people like Will Forte before Will, and got to go, and the people that you're like, they were just so inspiring for what they were doing. And I, all these, you know, and that lobby full of all those faces that you're like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah. Well, that's
and,
nice.
And I found my place. I was like, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I'm not, because they don't tell you that in college. They don't tell you like, you're going to be a character actor, sketch comedian. Like, they don't, I mean, maybe now they do, because it's sort of like the improv and the awareness of all that now. But at the university level, they're like, you either do Shakespeare or you're going to be a movie star or you're not going to make it in this business
at all.
You're going to be a chorus boy.
Yeah, or you'll be a chorus boy. Right. Yeah. They know their types. And I never really fit into any of those types. And I walked into the Groundlings and I was like, oh, this is my type.
Oh, yeah.
Freak this shows. Is what I'll
they're
do.
Like, yeah.
Freaks. Right.
That's what it is. I mean,
and then, you know, you move through that. And then as I went through that and you just sort of you mix that with this sort of underground, like all those, like the drag shows. And the club shows, and you're like, oh, this is what I do. I'm not a drag queen.
Yeah, I just do every, wherever, however. Mm-hmm. It's like,
You know, I'm a theater booger lady.
Yeah, a booger. I love that.
Help.
Do you hate that booger? Oh, that,
no, I love that booger. Drag. I love all of his words.
Oh, it's wonderful. He's got some good stuff.
He's got trouble. A lot of trouble.
He's got a bank.
Yeah, I like it here, too. Not going anywhere.
I've got a what?
A bank.
A bank.
Yeah.
A vocabulary bank.
A
vocabulary
bank.
Oh,
I want to. Okay, I want to hear about you guys. I want to hear who wants to tell me a story. Who wants to tell me something?
We should start.
Revelation.
Okay, I'll go. Mine's probably like more tame.
So when I hear yours, it can be better than yours, and I'll feel better with myself because my.
Well, I debated on what to talk about, and I even like texted my mom and my sister at lunch, and I was like, I need a story that I can tell that I've never told anyone. What do you think I should do? And my mom was of no help.
perfect. I love it.
So I was like, I can either tell this like kind of whimsical, mystic, inspirational ghost story, or I can tell this like really weird, like inappropriate childhood sexual behavior story.
So
I'm gonna go with that one.
Okay, so
where to start? So I'm from Texas, a very small town in Texas, and my mom's a single mom, and when I was probably from like age 1 to I don't know 10-ish, we lived with my grandparents, and my grandpa Papa was a ranch manager.
Okay.
Ranch. So there were.
I had to think from
just.
Not a branch manager.
How dare you, sir?
Not a
Fargo.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. Southwest side of town.
Okay.
They would leave me at the house on the ranch, like when he would go out to herd the cattle and whatnot, and inseminate them.
Yeah.
And my mom would go do her thing, and then my meemaw like owned a monogramming factory.
Oh, as you do.
How about that?
Meemaw's mammogram. not mammogram. Monogram.
I mean, that's amazing. Okay.
So, you know, I was the oldest and only grandchild at that point. And so they would just leave me at the house in the middle of the ranch. Like, there was no one. Yeah. You could see no one. Jesus. I was safe.
Yeah.
And I guess I was a horny kid because every time they would leave me alone, I knew that there were VHS tapes hidden kind of in the living and TV area.
Yeah.
There was like a little credenza with a sliding plastic door.
I know it.
It was like low to the ground.
This room is a room that knows what a credenza is.
Thank you.
Okay.
So I knew that there was this one videotape in there that had this sex scene.
Yeah.
And it wasn't anything, you know, it wasn't explicit. It was just like, right. I think maybe a man's towel dropped and like you could see his butt.
Yep.
And it was like, ooh, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there was that one and there was another one. So what I would do when they would leave me alone, if I got, you know, the feeling.
Yeah.
And you don't remember what the movie was.
I can't know.
Cats.
I can't.
No.
Okay. Sorry, that was loud. Sorry, sound
sorry.
Guy.
Sorry.
I tend to cackle like the witch that I am. Anyway, so there was that one, and then there was another one. Because at that age, when you don't really know, it's like, oh, that's a man's torso. I like that. But then sometimes it would be like, ooh, titties.
Right. Yeah. Oh, of course.
Boobs, right?
Sure. Yes, of course.
So there were like three, and they weren't all in the credenza. Like one was in my uncle's bedroom, and one was, you know, like... Yeah. Because there were like six that kind of lived on top of the TV too, six VHS. Anyway, so what I would do was when I was confident that I was alone for enough time, I would find those tapes.
Yeah.
I would check the tracking marker.
Oh. Uh-huh.
For where it was stopped.
Yeah, yeah. You have to, right.
I would write it down. I would rewind.
Are you listening, kids? This is what we had to do. This is what we did for you.
So, yeah. We paved the way.
Yeah.
You could have fun with all your digital files and bullshits.
So I would check the tracking and then I would fast forward or rewind to the scene. And I would take a stool from the kitchen.
This is getting good now. This is getting really good.
And I would take a throw pillow from the sofa.
Uh-huh.
Or the couch, as we would say. Yeah. I'd take a throw pillow from the couch. And when it got to the scene, like when the towel dropped, and you're like, oh, that body.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I didn't know. Like, you don't know what you're doing.
Right. You have no idea what you're doing.
You have no idea what you're doing.
No.
I just knew, like, you know, that.
Yeah.
And so I would put the pillow on top of the stool.
Yeah.
And I would lean on it.
Uh-huh.
And I would hump the pillow.
Oh. You wanted a certain height. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense. I mean...
To like emanate the scene or whatever.
Right.
And emanate, is that the word?
Sure.
I'm not smart, so I sound...
It's both.
That's right?
Yeah.
So I would do that, and I would like lean up against it.
Yeah. It's called frothage now, isn't there something?
Frottage.
Okay, frottage. It's a hard T. There,
you know. Double T.
Okay, sorry.
So frottage. This one time I was doing it, and I, rather than just simply lean up against it to get my rocks off, I actually went and like laid on top of it.
Oh, okay.
So I'm splayed. Like my arms are out, my legs are like flailing behind me.
I can see it on my
head. I'm like humping this pillow in the middle of my fucking grandparents' living room
in Texas.
In the middle of nowhere in Texas.
Right.
And I fucking fall over.
Oh, Jesus.
And I get a big scratch.
No.
Oh,
God.
And I panic.
Of course, because you think, all right,
it's all.
So I go back to the, I remove
God
everything.
Got you for that.
God, yes.
Uh-huh. That's another, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I had to kind of like reset the room and then, you know, go back to the, eject the video and, you know, it makes that clunky thing as it comes out. Go back to my tracking notes. I'm bleeding, by the way.
Yeah.
And go back to the tracking and get the video right because I'm like, I can't. They'll know.
Yeah.
They'll know.
Yeah.
So, they'll figure me out. Mm-hmm. So I had to get the tracking back to the exact beat, put it back in the sleeve, put it back in the thing, and make sure I don't disturb the dust on the credenza so no one can see that I've been digging through that shit.
And meanwhile, no one's paying that close attention.
No one's going to ever know.
But the fear.
It's that fear.
The fear. You know,
Jesus.
And so then I lied about
what happened to your head.
I think I said like there was a cow or something in the yard, because cows would walk through
the
yard.
Oh my gosh, Jesus Christ.
By the way.
Literally. I'm like, okay, wow. Where the fuck
Boston over here. I mean, has no idea what's happening.
I don't think I was ever alone as a child. It was always someone taking care of me.
Oh my God. That's
so
a lot.
So I never told anyone that I lied about why I had a cut.
Okay.
And I definitely never told anyone that I was like secretly jacking off to the non-sex sex scenes.
Yeah.
Right.
And the VHS tapes that I uncovered at my grandparents' house.
That's amazing.
A great story.
Weren't you
waiting for like a ranch hand gangbang thing that was going to attack this poor kid?
Yeah, but then I would be like, I don't believe, you know what I mean? I'd be like, oh, it's a penthouse letter versus the truth. That's exactly how it went down.
That's so sweet.
It's very sweet. Isn't it also interesting about the times that we like masturbated as kids before we ejaculated?
Yes.
Before we
would
do it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I did it all the time and I was a very late bloomer. But I remember, or I would just want to watch like dirty movies. Like it was also, to me, there was a lot of it that was just when I was told what was forbidden.
Yeah.
And I wanted so badly. But I remember as a kid being like, I can't wait till I'm 18 because I can go to an X-rated movie theater.
Yeah.
You know, I was just talking about their show about like, you know, I mean, I saw my first R-rated movie when I was 5. And I was actually, my mom and I watched Valley Girl, this is a two-part story because this is from last week as well. I was allowed to watch Valley Girl with my mother when it was on HBO. Maybe I was 6 because I think that movie came out in 82, and maybe 83 by the time I got to HBO.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, I remember that movie so well, and I also it was when there was a sex scene, I had to go into the kitchen and have orange juice with my mom. And I remember the first time it was not a big deal, but then the second time, mom's like, "Time for more orange juice," and I was like, "No, I don't want orange juice. I want to see what's happening." So it was a little censored, but I mean, I was allowed to watch Freddy and Jason movies as a very young kid, you know, all that stuff. So yeah, my friends would come to my house because it was so weird because I had conservative Republican, you know, Presbyterian parents in the South who let me watch any R-rated movie I wanted to.
Yeah.
We would watch movies a lot as a family, and then I think it was also because my parents both love movies, and they were like, "We're not gonna deprive ourselves." So they would say, "We all have to watch it together."
Just selfish.
So they were like, "We're all gonna watch this together, and then we'll talk about it afterwards." Like, this is just a movie, and this is not really what really.
I kind of love that.
What teenagers do, and I do too. And I will say that, like, my mom, it was, you know, like, my mom knew that I loved horror movies, and so then she was like, and we would have a deal. We would go to the video store, and she's like, and this was the best deal for everyone involved.
Can we just talk about the existence of video stores? Come on, nostalgia.
I know.
Get me started.
I remember the first video store we used to go to. We had to go in, and there was a woman who stood behind a counter, and you had to request the movie. The movies were on display behind her, and you would say, "We're gonna have Splash,
Adventures in Babysitting."
Exactly. There you go. And
then
they would grab it. They would take it out, and they would bring it to you.
Yeah.
And so, but we would go to the video store, and my mom would say, "Okay, you get to do one Jason movie as long as you also watch a Hitchcock movie."
Oh, she's good.
And I'm like, that works out well for everybody because I love both of those.
Yeah.
You know, and so she was like, "You're going to need to know what good horror movies are." And so that was something that I'm very grateful for. And it was also like, let's have a conversation about it. But we never obviously watched porn together.
Yeah.
We did, however, watch Basic Instinct as a family. And I was older then, but I was still maybe 13 or 14, like very uncomfortable age to watch Basic Instinct with my family. So it's to this day, we'll watch anything together. And it kind of is like, I mean, I see all kinds of crazy raunch with my mom to this day. We watched Helter Skelter together on Christmas one year. So that, you know, go figure that out. Unpack that.
We're getting a lot.
Just me and Candy, Drogi, just sitting on the couch watching, you know,
I'm so, a lot of fill in the blanks today for me. I'm really feeling good about coming out here today. I'm happy.
But I do think it's just interesting how, like, when you're told, like, that, but also, like, porn was obviously different from any of that. So I just wanted that. I was like, I have to see this. I want this so badly. But it wasn't like I have to ejaculate. I have to take care of business as much as like you don't know what
you don't know what it is.
You don't know what it is. But it's everything you think about. It's like it's so much in, you know.
Yeah. I've been thinking about this is something like this lately because. You know that feeling? You're talking about a feeling you had, like an excitement. And I'm sure if you think about it more, which I've been doing, when you met someone, if there was a guy, because you didn't even know you were gay, but you get that feeling, that anxiety, and you wanted to see them. I don't get that anymore about anything. Do you? I'm like, what? Where? Mm. How do you get that? Like,
yeah,
I really want to see this person today. Just see them and say, oh, hi. Like, you know, and I'm.
I crave that feeling. And I feel like, I mean, yes.
I don't know. I don't want it. I mean, I haven't had it in forever. I didn't really realize it until I was like, oh, I don't have that tingly, happy, like, something like you're saying, like fucking a stool.
Right.
Like something.
Right.
It's like, it's all, but it's all part of this like wonderful, like, you don't know, you can't describe it. And it's, and you have all these things you're doing to set up that perfect sort of situation just for yourself. And, you know, I mean, that's why I'm in movies.
Well, a lot of people, that's what they say. That's so great. The, you know, great thing about having a kid is that you get to experience all these things for the first time. Obviously, you're not hopefully masturbating with your child, but you are like,
hopefully.
But you know, you're going to Disneyland with your child and it's like a whole different experience.
Yeah.
Because they are seeing it and you see for them how real it is. Or for like, my brother would talk about like, back when my niece was very young, how she used to run outside and just grab onto trees and just start laughing.
Oh, just see, I love
hysterically.
Stuff
like she would just, she loved nature in this way that like, and it was funny. It was something. And he was like, I want to know
what's happening right now
for her.
It's
like,
so beautiful.
Why this is funny to her. I'm fascinated by that. Yeah. Why this tree is like giving her every ounce
humor.
Of joy.
Yeah,
humor.
That's right. Humor and joy.
You know, and then you, as you know, when you get older and it's like, you're like, oh, been there, done that. I've seen everything.
That's
what am I going
to
do?
Trying to get out of that.
And I'm trying, I try as well. I mean,
I don't know.
It's very hard because I also, because it's just easy to sort of be that crab for me.
Thank you.
So
that's where I
like,
sit with a bottle of vodka like, fuck this,
but
burn
I
it all
know,
down.
Exactly. Yeah. I know.
Nathan,
but I do think, I don't know. I think like, because in the world where we are right now, I'm like, I'm trying
to
choose to see everything that's happening in the world as a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like, oh, things are cracking open and it's scary.
Yeah.
But like, we could choose this as like a rebirth.
Yeah,
totally.
This might be a whole new... you know, where
we have to keep the energy up and keep, I mean, I know how fucking queer that sounds, but I say all the time, like, and mine's coming back and I'm just giving, helping out little other things with people and doing little things.
Yeah.
So there's better energy. It's like this thing. It's just starting. Like, let's fix this.
You know. And let's listen to the kids.
Listen to the kids
that are laughing at the tree. Because, like, and the kids that are,
I love
you know,
that
are 20, that are just kind of coming out with, like, I don't believe in labels. And,
yeah,
and
they
I don't.
Believe,
and it's like, let's listen to what they have to say. Because that might be a place to tap into that thing.
Yeah. I roll my eyes quietly, but I'm also happy that they're doing it. Because it's nice. All these kids coming out at, like, 11 and 12. And I'm like, oh, my God, I was still building tree forts back then. And one day left alone in the woods.
Right.
I was like, I don't
have
want
you
to.
Heard of lactatia?
What's that?
Lactatia is this child.
Oh, okay. I thought
lactatia,
it was a place in Croatia.
I was thinking it was like some horrible breast milk disease.
Yeah, here we go.
It could be that.
Okay.
Lactatia is this boy drag queen.
I've seen lactatia. I don't know what gender they prefer, but I've seen this masterpiece.
Yes. He is a masterpiece.
Wow.
Just a little boy.
Yeah.
I think he's maybe 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
He's studying voice and he's studying acting and he wants to move to LA and be a star, but he also is a fan of Drag Race and does drag for fun too.
Oh, shit. No,
and
I don't know.
His mom, who obviously loves the drag too, took him to some big show. Like a bunch of those queens were there, and he was down front, and Bianca pulled him on stage and was like, "You're amazing. I love you. I love what you're doing. Who's your favorite drag queen?" He's like, "Ginger Minj." She's
like,
a star.
Oh, I love to say that to Bianca Del Rio.
Amazing.
Oh my
Bianca,
God.
I love you.
She must have her face.
Yeah,
must
we
have
love
been.
You, Bianca.
She cracked.
Of
she had to.
Bianca.
She like pulled the mic away. Had to walk away and pull it together.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. That's the best thing
that's
ever.
Beautiful.
Little
getting
like Ginger Minj.
That's hysterical.
But and kids, you know, they know who they are and what they want. A lot more now, and I think
they do.
You know, and yes, there is something that is generational. You know, where we were all forced to be boys a lot longer.
Oh, I was,
you know, and you weren't.
No, I mean, like I've gotten in trouble a lot because I was always doing.
Yes.
I mean, nothing's changed.
Girly,
what
thing.
I do now,
sure,
it hasn't changed even
absolutely.
A little, which is just.
But we were just, you know, it was just like society was just telling us a different story than now.
Yeah,
you know, or a different reality.
Right now, it's
and a different dream. They were handing us a different dream
they
and
really
saying
were.
That's
yeah.
what this is. And so now it's like, oh, we have to sort of embrace this and still make the kids stay interested in what came before them, because that's my thing. I always have to say, make them learn the history.
They because
they
right?
need to know that they need
have
to know.
It makes me
they
so
need
angry.
To be, you know, I'm all about self discovery, obviously, with right. this show, mm-hmm. but it's also like learn about others and learn about the forefathers and foremothers.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know,
I mean, there's a lot. The
history
kids don't
and
know.
Herstory and all
yeah,
that.
They don't
stuff.
Know. The Learned kids
you just,
don't know.
You just reminded me of when, like, my mom bought me a horse.
Oh.
And she, and they and the family made me rodeo with
oh,
all the other
God.
Cousins.
Oh, God.
And, like,
God.
I had to wear bleached, not bleached, starched Wranglers. And,
oh,
like,
yeah.
But, like, they
oh,
made
the
me
thing.
Yeah, exactly.
be a
right.
rodeo person. And right. I just, I remember, like, the steps of... God, I just got so triggered. Like, just the steps of denying that for
yes,
myself.
Yes.
You yeah. know, like, I don't want to wear those jeans. And I don't, can I just wear a t-shirt or like.
Right, right.
You didn't want to do it.
I
yeah.
don't want to do that event.
My parents.
Right. Yes. I want nothing
yeah.
to do with any
yeah,
of this.
Yeah, yeah.
This feels, there was so much of childhood for me that felt like work. And there was yeah. a kid, there was part of me, that's why I was never comfortable being a kid. I couldn't wait to be an adult. Because I was
know.
Like, I know when I'm adult, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
I knew that on such a. Early stage of my life, like, and mm-hmm. I just was like, okay, I'll play along. I'll wear that sweater. I'll go to church all day.
Oh,
I'll,
okay.
I'll be nice to these awful people that I can see, that I can see so clearly who they are. That my parents don't like either. But I guess I'll be nice to these
right.
people.
Yeah.
I'll yes. play in this playgroup with a bunch of trash
idiots
that I'm gonna be away from one day. It was all purgatory. It was yeah. like one day, and I had lovely parents and brothers. And of course they're wonderful, but I just was like, I just know,
you know.
That I'm gonna be fine.
That's yeah.
All right, we're running out of time, and Billy, no. I want to hear your story.
I mean, I don't really have a. I don't. I mean, I don't have. When we talk about the school, that sort of triggered memories. We had a girl side and a boy side.
Uh-huh.
I went to a Catholic school, mm-hmm. you know, like with mm-hmm. the uniforms and everything.
Okay.
And this is like the people. Someone said to me years ago, "What's the meanest thing you've ever done that you knew you were doing?" So we're
oh,
at this
I
school.
Love
so there was a boy's side and a girl's side, but I refused to play on. The boys' side. It was boring. They always just playing basketball and fighting, and the girls were jump roping and hanging out. And I'm like, I'm going to be on the girls' side. And
yeah.
I would get in trouble and get detention, and the nuns would all. Okay, so anyway.
Would they wrap your knuckles?
They would, oh, yeah. It was like the whole thing. I'd be sitting on the bench, and I'd be like, you know, but I didn't care. I'm like, okay, I don't care. Like, I mean, because I never cared. Like, you know, you mm-hmm. said you were good. My mother tells me, you were such a happy child. Then you turned like 6 or 7, and you were done. You had no use for anyone. There was nothing we could do. We couldn't beat you to do. You just didn't care anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm still the same. So we had this kid was out of school. His name was Mark Montemiro. He had had his whole leg redone before lasers and all that. So he was like out of school, and the entire
what
school,
happened to his leg?
Sorry, redone? Like
yeah, what do you mean?
He had torn ligaments
plastic
or
surgery?
Something.
Oh,
okay, like he was an athlete.
Okay,
cosmetically.
He hated his left leg.
So
he got a new
ugly.
One. Got it redone.
But he had like, I mean, I remember the surgery being like really, really intense because he was out of school for like months.
Okay,
and like the pins in the legs and all that shit.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we and everyone in the school had made cards. Each grade had made their own cards for him. Or whatever. So he finally comes back to school. Like, we had all mailed him these cards and all, the, you know, so it was a big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he comes back to school, and I remember him having this leg brace thing on. Like, okay. And the boys are on the boy side. And I mean, I was a small kid. I didn't really grow until I was in high school. And all of a sudden, I was like, she's 6'1", and that was the mm-hmm. end of this. And then she put on heels, and it was just you.
Yeah.
So I don't remember. I mean, I remember doing it, but like, they're all, the boys are in the playground playing. Somehow the basketball came over to the girl's side, and I wound up with it. So I'm holding the ball, and the boys are like, give us the ball. Like, give it to us. And I'm standing there like, and I'm gonna give it to them, but they're so fucking adamant about, and like Mark comes over and puts his hands on my shoulders. It's like, give me the ball. And I drop the ball, and I grab his forearms, and I kick him right in the leg with the leg.
Oh.
He goes down.
Oh, like, my God.
And like everyone, no one touches me because they're all horrified because he's like crying and he's laying there. And I'm just staring there.
You killed Selena.
I killed Selena Esmorte.
Yeah.
And the nuns, of course, descend on me. And Sister Bernadette, who I can see as clear as day in my
Bernadette.
Head. And she's like,
of course, her name is Bernadette.
She's like looking at me. And the joke is because she's like, Billy, why did you do that? You knew. You signed the card.
Because
I just thought, I mean, that's like the, I knew I deliberately. was like, I don't care if you never walk again. Like, don't.
And don't grab don't my touch shoulders. Me.
So, but when he was talking about the.
But I
the,
love, I mean, first of all,
wow,
kids,
he's fine now.
Kids are mean. Yeah. Kids are really, kids are mean. Really mean.
Yeah.
But you're also, you're primal.
Yeah.
And you're that feeling of like.
Yeah, I don't know what.
I'm sure there's also like the thing where you're like, yeah, I love you and I hope you get well, but let's shut the fuck up about your goddamn
already.
Leg.
Right.
Like, shut okay, up, we're all going to go through things.
Yeah.
I mean, and I also, I mean, I'm sure there was like, he's getting way more attention than he should for right. this thing.
I was obviously
and you were like, no
child.
One's seeing me.
Right.
No one's giving me the my flower. No one's giving me my card.
Right. My card. Yeah.
So who's going to sign my card? So I'm sure, and it's just this kid and you're just like, I have this pent-up rage.
Right.
I fit somewhere between the boys and the girls. And I don't know. And so here comes a kick.
Wailed him right in the leg.
Yeah.
Felt like a stone. Loved
oh,
it.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I can remember it. I mean, that's, I know it's not really, I've told this story
no,
once or twice,
I mean,
not
I,
often, but.
I had moments that I was such a mean kid, and
yeah.
I think it's a lot of it was just, I was just so verbally abusive. I did not understand the power of words. You're talking about a bank
yeah,
of
yeah.
words?
Ditto.
I did not understand that how much I could hurt people, because I thought I was just like, oh, this is my defense mechanism. This is how I can be funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, I can actually really hurt people, you know? And it's a thing where it's like, you have to use your powers for good.
Yeah, you're right.
And you
yeah.
don't learn that until you're an adult. You
yeah.
know, and you don't, you know, and but I'm scared to this day of like, I just hosted a lip sync competition at Akbar because I'm doing very well, you guys.
Things are great.
Things are on the up. But I just was doing, it was like an amateur
yeah.
get up and lip sync, and everybody was like, and the other judge was the guy who like created the whole show's mother, who was
oh.
this lovely woman from Chicago who yeah. was in town for, you know, and she was so nice. I mean, she was like, you are a star. I can see you. I mean, she was so lovely. And she gave everyone such amazing
yeah.
just sunshine.
Yeah.
And I think they put me on to expect me to be like, and here comes cunt flaps.
That's right.
And I was just like, I was really nice. And they were like, you were so nice. And why were you? I'm like, because these are amateurs. Okay.
Right, we're not.
Anybody off the street is getting up. They're trying. They've actually worked on this. They're
right.
trying to sing along to a song. They have like 200 people standing in a crowded
yeah.
hot sweaty bar
yeah, yeah,
screaming
that, right.
at them. The pressure's on.
Yeah.
And what are the stakes? In this, we're not, you know, like they're not
the afterlife, like what
they, yeah. the grand prize at the end of the whole thing is a bottle of tequila. Like that's what they win at the end. It's
Wait,
not even
no,
like
it's not.
Yes, it was. Yeah,
shut
yes,
up.
It was. It was a bottle of tequila, and the final three all got French fries. They brought in like from McDonald's next door. They brought
right,
in a little from French fries.
Pretty that, hysterical.
That's I mean it, the whole thing is just
right.
for the
they
joy of watching
right,
people
right.
enjoy
them. Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? And then I do these recaps on RuPaul's Drag Race, and
yeah.
I put on a wig and I say that I'm Tanya Roberts, and I am a nightmare whore mean as shit. And I'm like, you know what? There's a difference because these people are on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
These people
right.
are acting like I'm yep. the shit and,
right.
and blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I have a wig on and I'm like, here we go.
You want to do this?
And
let's
it's for
do
entertainment
it. Yeah.
of the whole thing.
Right.
And it's the whole thing is with hopefully with love.
Oh,
but when I'm me
yeah.
and I'm in a and I'm like supposed to be judging amateurs, I'm going to find what's nice to say about
yeah.
the people. And I will pick the best ones, in my opinion, to be the winners, but oh my God, what are the stakes? You know, and I
right.
think people were just expecting me to just
to
like,
be like to shred.
And
yeah,
I'm
yeah,
like,
buddy.
I'm terrified of the mean person in me that what I would say.
I know.
And it's not even how I really feel, but I can get carried away.
Yeah, I love
and
that.
Then it's like I'm a child again.
Yeah.
And I learned as a kid, like I can see when I see someone's face shatter
yeah.
in my presence,
know,
it
bad.
Breaks my heart.
Yep.
Like
I
at a place
know.
That I can't bring it back.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh wait, I don't mean that, and I think you're great. And it's just too much.
Yeah.
So I mean I admire that. That, you know, but I'm just too, I'm nervous and I'm scared of myself.
Yeah.
Like to
do you
just,
drink
to,
gin?
I love gin.
May not allow you can't drink. I'm not allowed to drink gin. One of the rules.
Oh, it makes you mean.
Oh, it makes me. I mean, I'm mean now. It makes
it
me
makes
like
you just like.
I mean, they're like she's run.
The tacks are out.
Yeah, it's bad. So
yeah.
I don't want you. You know, I love yeah. it, but I just they won't let me. I gotta.
Yeah.
I gotta reel it in.
Once but you also know, like in situations like that. For someone like your, either
yeah.
of you, who like people know about and pay attention to, you never know when one of those amateur type people, we'll just use that term loosely,
yeah.
idolizes you for something
right.
small that you've done. And
I know.
You don't want to. You don't want to crush them.
There was another thing, yes, and that's the thing. You just, yeah, exactly, because it goes way deeper than that. Then,
yeah,
because
yeah.
then it's like they'll never forget.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then
that
then you're,
you know,
you're really an asshole.
Fill in the blank said this to me, and
yeah.
it's a thing where you're like, you know, and I mean, I can't imagine. It's like, you know, there are people that I admire and really love, and if they
yeah.
insulted me in front of an audience of people,
yeah.
Oh my God.
That's hard to come
really
back from
rough.
That.
It is.
I try to be, I try, but some people just work my fucking nerve into
well,
a
if they
frenzy.
Ask for it, if they ask for it,
full
then,
tilt
then,
yeah.
then all, that's the thing.
So there's that.
Yeah.
Well,
ma'am, it has been a day. Ma'ams,
I learned
thank you both
so much
sladies.
Today.
I learned sladies. Oh my God, I love that sladies. I loved our chat today.
Ditto.
This was wonderful. I mean, yeah, I always feel like I've been to
thank
to,
you.
Been to the spa yeah. or the therapist's office or the you know or the salon the you know the old you know Dorothy Parker version yeah. of the salon.
Yeah.
Mm. What am I saying? I don't know. I'm gonna go drink some gin. And get real mean.
No, get real
that.
Get real cozy. I'm going to Lowe's.
Go to Lowe's.
I'm going to go find some wood.
Now, for the hardware. Okay, good. Yeah. Yes, Lowe's sir. Is also the name of a grocery store as well.
Oh, is
the
it?
East Coast. They have Lowe's. Yeah, Lowe's can, yeah, exactly.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Nope. Yeah.
Nope. Mm-hmm. My mom does our grocery shopping. I don't know. I'm not allowed to touch the washer and the dryer. And she, what do you want at the grocery store? She buys it all.
Oh my God, I love
she's
it.
Very, she's a great mom.
Yeah, don't get on public transportation.
She wouldn't.
Don't
go.
No, don't do it.
No, I can't.
Oh my God. Billy, Francesca, Ty Blue, thank you both so much
thank
for doing
you.
The show.
Thank
so
you.
Good.
It was
I love
so much
it.
Fun. You guys, thanks. This has been another episode of Drew Drogi's Minor Revelations. Have a week.
Have a
what a cunt.
Class act. Class act.
Somebody said.
Say now at the end of the show.
Have a week.